This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. There's significant news out of federal court in Philadelphia, which could have implications here in the Boston area. A federal judge has ruled that a Philadelphia nonprofit can go forward with its plans to open a supervised consumption site in the city. Consumption sites allow people to consume illegal opioids under medical supervision. Joe Curtatone, mayor of Somerville, says he wants to open a supervised consumption site there next year. Cambridge Mayor Mark McGovern also likes the idea, and he joins us on the line now. Mayor McGovern, let's try that again. Mayor McGovern, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
So, Mayor McGovern, last time we spoke to you, you expressed interest in opening a supervised consumption site in Cambridge. How are you responding to this Philadelphia ruling?
Sure. Excuse me. I have more than just interest. I want to do this. And I think this ruling is a great step forward. The main obstacle or hurdle that people opposed to safe consumption sites have put up has been the legal implications. And so this ruling, I think, goes a long way in alleviating those concerns.
A long way. Do you think it goes all the way, or do you still think there's legal, you know, shakiness to your desire to do this?
I didn't think that there was legal shakiness to begin with, so I feel that this ruling supports that. So for me, it answers the question, and I think it basically takes that concern away. You know, I'm sure people who are opposed to this will say, well, you know, it'll be appealed, and I don't agree with it. But the court has spoken, and as with many issues that are controversial or are social justice issues, you need court intervention sometimes to give the green light, and they have done that in this case.
Why is a supervised consumption site so important, Mayor McGovern?
Because people are dying every day. And I think that there's a lot of misconceptions about what a safe consumption site is about. It is about harm reduction. It is about keeping people alive. You cannot get into treatment if you die from an overdose. There are people who die in back alleys, people who die in their homes, people who die in parks every single day in this Commonwealth. And if those folks had a place that they could use under medical supervision, they would be alive today. There have been no deaths in safe consumption sites around the world. And so this is about keeping people alive, and I can't think of anything more important than that.
Nevertheless, the Department of Justice is doubling down after this ruling, saying they'll take immediate action against any entities trying to open a supervised consumption site in their jurisdictions, in other jurisdictions. Also, here's what Massachusetts U.S. Attorney Andrew Lelling has told us in the past.
I want everyone to be very clear about this. Not only would it be illegal to open one, but we would pursue enforcement if they did open one.
Any of that give you pause?
Nope.
Sorry.
It's the right thing to do, you know. And with all due respect to Mr. Lelling, you know, any of his comments, I feel that these don't work. I don't know. None of his opinions have been based on actual evidence around that is out there around safe consumption sites. So I understand that he has a job to do. But we also have a job to do to protect our residents. And right now, the federal government's failing us. The state's not doing much better. And so it's up to municipalities to step up and keep their residents alive.
So there's one other argument here. We spoke recently with Boston City Councilor Anissa Asaibi-George. She's visited consumption sites in Canada. She thinks they're the wrong focus for Greater Boston. Here she is.
We know that people are dying today in our city. There are pieces of this that we can do today. We think about the millions of dollars that it costs to open one site. I want to invest those in actions that we can do today and tomorrow to save lives.
So, you know, maybe a better investment is putting money into less controversial, faster solutions like needle exchange or naloxone availability. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and we're doing that. And I'd like to see her figures of millions of dollars to open a site. I'm not sure where she got those figures, but this is the problem that we get into. These are complicated, complex issues, and people try to say, well, we should do this or that. You know, if we do this, we can't do that. These are and conversations. I passed a policy here in Cambridge for all of our first responders to carry naloxone. We're putting it in all city buildings. We're making it available to anybody and everybody who wants it. We are putting money into education and destigmatization. We are putting money into treatment. And we need to put money and resources into safe consumption sites to keep people alive. That kind of either-or thinking is not going to help solve this problem.
And just to clarify, I think she was actually talking about legal fights and court proceedings, et cetera, with the cost, not just the cost of the facility itself.
But again, you have to, sometimes, there are a lot of issues in our history that you've had to go through the courts to move forward, right? And those are investments that we as governments have to make if we believe that those investments are going to better the lives of the people who we represent. And I think keeping people alive and giving people a safe place to use a very dangerous drug, this is not at all about condoning drug use by any stretch of the imagination, but it is about keeping people alive. And that's what safe consumption sites do.
That's Cambridge Mayor Mark McGovern. Thanks for joining us on Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
To talk more about the legal implications of the Philadelphia case, we're going to turn to WBUR legal analyst and retired federal judge Nancy Gertner. Judge Gertner is also a senior lecturer at Harvard Law School. Welcome back, Judge.
Good to be on.
So what do you make of the judge's ruling?
Well, I mean, on the one hand, it is a judge saying that the federal statute that seems to bar safe injection sites, a 30-year-old Controlled Substances Act, doesn't apply. Now, in every state in the union, because this is a decision of a district court judge, which is, a lateral decision, in other words, a district court in Massachusetts is not bound by this Philadelphia decision, but it certainly is persuasive authority that someone said that the federal statute on which Prosecutor Lelling's prosecution would be based doesn't really apply to this situation. So it's persuasive authority, but nothing can be a guarantee until the court in your jurisdiction says yes or no to it, or unless the statute is changed.
So if Cambridge or Somerville, for example, despite Massachusetts U.S. Attorney Andrew Lelling's warnings, tried to open a safe consumption site, they wouldn't be protected by the Philadelphia ruling. They could face legal pushback in this jurisdiction.
They could. They could bring a case in Massachusetts to declare the same rights that happened in Philadelphia. I mean, in Philadelphia, what happened was that the nonprofit went into court to say, what are the rights here? It's called a declaratory judgment. What are my rights here? And the court ruled in its favor. It's part of an ongoing battle, if you will, between, two sovereigns. Literally, the state is a sovereign as well over its the health and safety of its own people. And so state marijuana laws have been inconsistent with the laws of the federal government. And the federal government has had to decide whether to go after states that have legalized marijuana. There have been, fights about needle exchanges. So this decision is helpful to anyone who wants to say that supervised injection sites do not violate federal law.
So I want to ask you about another case, because the state Supreme Judicial Court just today threw out the involuntary manslaughter conviction of Jesse Carrillo, who was convicted 2 years ago for providing heroin to a fellow UMass Amherst student who overdosed. Carrillo appealed the case. Today, the state Supreme Judicial Court found in his favor, saying that the prosecution didn't provide sufficient evidence that Carrillo knew the heroin would cause a fatal overdose. What's your reaction to that ruling?
It's a very interesting ruling. I had similar cases when I was on the federal bench, which is that the distribution of a drug that led to an overdose or led to a death, and the question is whether the distributor is then responsible for the death. It's a critical decision because the more strict the standard, if the standard isn't strict, then everyone on the street who distributes heroin or whatever the drug is immediately vulnerable to prosecution for consequences of which they may or may not have any control. What the court did is narrowed it. It says the only people who are going to be responsible for a death are those in which you can say that the defendant was wanton and reckless. In other words, it's a higher standard than likelihood that there'll be an overdose. You actually have to show that in the circumstances of the case, the defendant did more or the defendant not did more, but the defendant knew of more. The defendant was on notice and was reckless. So what would those kinds of situations be? I mean, you know, the guy is nodding off in front of you, and you know that this one injection could well take him over the edge. He's, you know, an underlying health condition. It has to be more than just this distribution, and you're going to take the risks that the distribution is going to lead to death. That would be a standard that would, in the law, we call that strict liability. It would make everyone, including the people who are sharing drugs, vulnerable to prosecution.
All right, I want to ask one more very quick one before we go. Earlier today on the White House lawn, President Trump publicly called for China to investigate Joe Biden and his son. Public statements on the record, echoing his private request to Ukraine. Did the president violate federal law on the South Lawn this morning?
I don't think the president gets it. It doesn't matter whether or not he says, you know, hey, China, investigate Biden or we're going to up the trade war. He has asked a foreign government to investigate a private citizen, who is his opponent in an election. Essentially, that is an election law violation. It's taking a thing of value, giving a foreign government is going to give me something of value, namely dirt on Joe Biden's son, you know, and I'm deploying their resources in an American election. Is it a crime? You know, that's not the question anymore. The question is whether it's impeachable. That's the question.
WBUR's legal analyst, Judge Nancy Gertner, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Stay tuned. There's more coming up.